Brilliant. Hey guys, it really is, like I said earlier, just such a pleasure to be with you guys again. I miss our Auckland family. We don't get to see you often enough, and it's such a pleasure when we do. We've come to love, you know, you guys, just, you are like family to us, those of you that we know well, and those of you that we don't know yet, hopefully we'll get to know you over time as well. But hey, I wanted this morning just to give you some prophetic insight into what's happening in at the moment, but also some very practical tips on one aspect of what God's doing. So hopefully it'll be helpful for you. I know when I learned this stuff, it was incredibly helpful for me. So one of the things that we're finding is, in the midst of all that's happening at the moment, God's doing some incredible stuff. He's at work in the middle of it. Sometimes it may not look like it when we look at what's happening in our country at the moment, and we see all the stuff that's happening. We, you know, it's very easy to let doubt take root, to have questions, to worry about what's happening in the nation. But we have to stay in that place of trust, you know, with God. And one of the things that he's being very intentional about at the moment in the church is causing us to look at the whole thing of being intentional about examining ourselves, our thoughts, our actions, and our lifestyles. He's urging us to be intentional about stewarding our thoughts in particular, and renewing our mind so that we think with the mind of Christ, and so that we live in alignment with kingdom values and with the new nature that we've been given in Christ. So I want to share particularly about stewarding our thoughts this morning, because in what we're going through as a nation, that is absolutely critical right now. We just have to look at Facebook and the news. You know, like, there is so much, a barrage of stuff coming at us from every direction, and it's every possible conceivable opinion, and it's just, it can be overwhelming at times. And here we are stuck in our homes. And one of the things that I learned not so long ago, but was that particularly if you're on Facebook a lot, Facebook and the internet are designed to feed you more of what you look at. So the more you look at stuff, the more of that they feed you, so that that becomes all you see, and all the info that is coming into your screen and into your house aligns with what you think. So you don't get other opinions unless somebody is bold enough to stick their hand up and go, hey, I have a different opinion. In which case, you know, the response from most of us is, how dare you have a different opinion? my opinion's right. And we become very dogmatic in our opinions. But part of that dogmatism is created because that's the way the internet is designed, and particularly Facebook. It's designed to reinforce your personal beliefs and what you look at. So it will feed you more and more of that. It's designed to push you in a certain direction, and that direction is the direction of what you look at. So that's important to understand in what's happening at the moment in our country. So if we're someone who loves to, please excuse the term, but if we're someone who loves to buy into conspiracy theories, then Facebook will fill our screen with conspiracy theories. It will feed us all the stuff. If we're someone that likes to look at science, it will feed us with stuff from science. If it will feed us with people who agree with us. And so being able to steward our thoughts and steward what we watch is so critical in this time. So I don't know if you're like me, but I read stuff in the Bible and I read verses and I go, well, that's all very well, God, you know, but it's not as easy as you make it sound. Particularly verses like Joshua 1:9, which we probably all know, where God says, have I not commanded you to Joshua, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, and we can read that and we can go, well, that's cool, you know. But in our own lives, it's actually not as straightforward as that. It's not so easy to not worry. It's not so easy to not be afraid. You know, it's hard, especially with everything that's happening around us at the moment. You know, and God tells us loads of times in the Bible, he talks about worry, he talks about telling us not to fear, to be strong, to be courageous. Some other verses, if you're taking notes on that, Psalm 56:3-4, 2 Timothy 1-7, and Ephesians 6:10-18. Those three, they all speak into that area of our life. But what those verses all show us is that fear is something that's common to mankind. Questions and doubts and hardships are something that are common to mankind. They're not just a, you know, something that is particular to this era of time. For most of us, you know, or many of us, this, what we're going through right now is like the first major global thing that we've been through in our lifetime. We didn't go through the Great Depression, or, you know, a lot of us didn't go through the Second World War, where, you know, our guys went off to fight on behalf of us and, you know, for freedom and stuff. We didn't go through the Spanish flu. We didn't go through those big global things. And particularly here in New Zealand, we've been incredibly isolated. But it doesn't stop us having worry. It doesn't stop us having doubts. It doesn't have us stopping fears for the future. Those are things that we all face. They're common to mankind. And as Christians, we're not immune from them. You know, as much as we would like to think we're overcoming Christians, you know, and we're urged to be overcomers, the reality is we're human. And to get to be an overcomer, you've got to battle through some stuff. You've got to have some stuff to overcome. So right in, at the moment, we're in the middle of that. So I want to share some stuff that helped me incredibly and is still helping me, particularly in what we're going through at the moment. One of the things I discovered years ago that was a huge help to me was the knowledge that not all my thoughts originate with me. We can think because the thoughts are in our head, they're our thoughts and they've originated with us. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. But what that means, if not all our thoughts originate with us, then there's other sources that our thoughts come from. But it also means that therefore I shouldn't just automatically accept and believe everything that I think. You know, don't believe everything you think. It's that I don't know if I can emphasize that enough, because it's in our head, we just automatically accept it and we go, oh, you know, that must be what I believe. So the reality is you shouldn't believe everything you think, because not all your thoughts originate with you. Doesn't mean we become paranoid and distrust our thoughts or distrust our minds. It simply means that we need to be mindful of what we're thinking. One of the things I learned just a few weeks ago was that some really new research tells us that a person averages between 6,000 and 6,200 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts, you know. That's a lot of stuff that's coming in our minds. And it's not surprising that often we operate on autopilot. and we aren't mindful of what we think. To actually be mindful of 6,200 thoughts a day would drive you batty. So often we're not. And we need to understand that our mind is an incredibly powerful receiver and processor. One of the things that scientists have discovered over the last few years, last 10, 15 years maybe, is that we have three brains as humans. We have a head brain, a heart brain, and a gut brain. And all those brains work together to form our mind. So our mind is not just our head brain. Our mind is made up of our head brain, our heart brain, and our gut brain. And they work together, collating and processing the information that our senses pick up and send to us from both the natural and the spiritual realm. So you've got two realms at play in this as well. You know, and you've got your senses, your sense of sight, your sense of hearing, your sense of thermoception, which is your ability to process temperature and read temperature, whether it's getting hotter or getting colder. Your natural sense of discernment is one of those senses, which is the ability to form and make good judgments, to sense what is risky and what is safe. So our mind, our three brains work together, collating all this information that is coming to us through our senses, through what we're hearing, through what we're reading, seeing, etc. And it processes it. But not only do we have our three brains working together to process stuff, we also have our mind processes information from four main voices or powers that speak into our lives on a daily basis. Those voices feed us information about ourselves and the world we live in. We also hold internal conversations with them. Whether we like it or not, how many of you talk to yourself? My grandma used to say, if you don't talk to yourself, you're crazy. And I'm like, I didn't quite get that one for many years until I realized that I talk to myself all the time. I have this internal conversation that happens in my head where I'm talking to myself. But not only am I talking to myself, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to myself about the things that I'm reading and hearing, and I'm holding conversations in my mind. You know, we can hear that and we go, oh, you hold conversations in your mind with powers? I'm like, whoa, that's like Twilight Zone stuff. You're weird. But the reality is, as Christians, we talk to God in our hearts and minds all the time, don't we? We understand that that happens. It's not, we don't always hear God with an audible voice speaking to us. In fact, that is very rare. Most of the times it happens internally. So I want to talk about those four voices and where those sources or those voices are and what they, how we steward them and how we steward our thoughts. The first voice is the voice of our own individual soul or flesh, our personal values, perspectives, desires, wants, prejudices, etc. These are formed by our responses to what we learn and what's modeled to us in our formative years and even as adults, but particularly our parents, our school years, our friends, our church beliefs, our culture. They all are huge at forming who we are and how we see the world. And of course, we know as Christians, our mind can be renewed by Christ, or it can be carnally ruled and focused. The Bible tells us that, you know, that there's those two things, two ways that we can see the world. We can see it through a carnal focus where we are, our desires and our egocentricness and self-focus is the big thing in our life. Or we can come through a kingdom mindset where we've learned and imbibed and established within us the values of the kingdom till they become us, not just what we think, you know, not just beliefs that we say we agree with, but they actually become us. So that's one of the voices. And we hold conversations with ourselves about what we're thinking during the day. The voice of the world is the second voice. The voice of the world speaks to us from the current prevailing mix of godly and ungodly values, perspectives, cultural norms, etc., that are around in our lifetime. So that changes over time. For example, what our great-grandparents believed and the way they thought is quite different to how people think nowadays, and the beliefs they hold nowadays. So those values are formed by people's beliefs, Christian, humanistic, post-Christian, and they're spread through influences. The voice of the world is spread through influences, which can include the church, individuals and the institution, the demonic realm, cultural peer groupings, social media influences, TV, movies, the arts, news sources, governments, etc. The voice of the world is incredibly strong. It speaks to us incredibly loudly. The third voice is the voice of the enemy of our soul, Satan, and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness uses deception, lies, bluff, and speaks from its base desire to steal, kill, and destroy. So Satan ultimately desires to turn people against God, bring them into bondage, and destroy all that's good and full of hope in people's lives. And how many of us have been battered by the voice of the enemy at times? You're no good. You're worthless. Who do you think you are? You'll never amount to anything. Do you think those are your own thoughts? It's the voice of the enemy coming into your heart and mind, barraging you, trying to convince you that because you're thinking it, it must be what you believe about yourself. And you can take it on. And when you come into agreement with it, you begin to believe it, and then you begin to live out of it. But when we understand, hey, hold on, this voice is telling me you'll never amount to anything. That word "you" is a giveaway. That's someone else speaking. I'll never amount to anything is me speaking. And that shows that I've come into agreement with a thought. But that voice that says "you," that's an exterior voice trying to influence you. So that's that voice. The other voice is God's voice, of course. The Trinity, the kingdom of heaven. The Trinity are full of love, hope. They're trustworthy. They're faithful. They're merciful. They're non-shaming. If they're non-condemnatory, if you hear a voice condemning you, oh, you're a useless Christian, that's not the voice of God. As God, I wish that you were far more mature and, you've got a lot of growing up to do and and it's said in a tone that sounds like, the words sound like they could come from God, but the tone puts you down and shames you and makes you feel guilty. That's not God. So the voice of God will always speak truthfully according to his nature and character. So God will always speak kindly, even when he's telling you off. He won't speak harshly. He won't shame you. He won't speak in a way that puts you down and puts you in your place. That's not the voice of God. And we need to understand that. I can remember one of the biggest tellings off I got from God. And he did it in two words with the kindest tone. He said, "Lynn, we need to have a little chat about something." And then he just said, you did this the other day. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And then he told me off. He said, oh, Lynn, that was all he said. It didn't need any other words. It was said with love and kindness and like, and I heard in it everything he needed to say. Lynn, this is not who you are. This is not who I created you to be. This is not your new nature in Christ. And it was two words, oh, Lynn. It was so kind and so loving. You know, so God desires our good. The Trinity desire our good. They do not seek to control or manipulate us in any way. They will not seek to control or manipulate you into walking as a good Christian, because that's not their nature. Now, that's incredibly important. So how do we deal with these four voices? How do we work and control the thoughts that enter our head? Well, the reality is we can't control what thoughts enter our head. What we do have control over is what happens once they do. We can control what we do with those thoughts. And so it's a normal part of life to have worry, to have doubt, to have questions. But that's not where we stay. That's not, we don't allow them to take root and to fester inside us. So what do we do with the doubts and fears and the things that are hard to go through in life? Some of the things, these are things I found that have been helpful for me. And I'm just being really practical in this. Put your trust in the Lord. And you go, yeah, well, again, that's easy to say. Yeah, not so easy always to do. How do you put your trust in the Lord? You discover what God's like. You discover what the Trinity is like. You experience their goodness. You experience their faithfulness. You take note of the way they speak to you with kindness. You take note of the fact that Scripture says their mercies are new every morning. In other words, you get a fresh start every day. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. God's mercy for you today is new. And it's, you get a fresh start. You know, that's who they are. They're trustworthy. They're kind. They're faithful. They're full of goodness and love. They care for you. They promised that they will never leave you or forsake you. You know, they promise to be your strength, your strong tower, your perfection, and more. You know, they've promised that to make provision and to give you all you need. You know, the more I have come to experience the reality of who the Trinity are, the more I've learned that they're trustworthy. And a lot of you know my story. I need to keep my eye on the time. I didn't take note, Pam, of when I started. I'm so sorry. So I will try and not go too long. Many of you will know my story. I was abused sexually for the first 16 years of my life. That doesn't promote trustworthiness. You know, it doesn't promote trust. It promotes anything but. It promotes suspicion. It promotes, you know, viewing the world through eyes that are full of hurt and so on. And my dad and granddad both abused me. So when I came to knowing God, particularly God as Father, it was like, yeah, I don't want to go there because I know what fathers are like. And yet, the more I've come to know God as Father, the more I've experienced his love, that he's safe. Oh my goodness, God is so safe. Father, God has become my favorite amongst the Trinity. I don't know how else to tell you guys, this is how you learn to put your trust in the Lord. You get to know them. It's not just about reading scriptures. Scriptures without the experience of knowing them is just please excuse me, I will use a phrase that's quite provocative, but it can be like a clanging cymbal or a lot of hot air at times. It can be a religious exercise that we go through if we don't have the experience that goes with it. And so ask God for experiences. One of the things I did for probably about a period of 3 years is I would take some of the ways that God shows himself in the Bible, like as shepherd, as father, as, you know, as friend. And I would ask God, this week, show me what it looks like. Give me some experiences of you being a good dad. Give me some experiences of you being my shepherd. Give me some experiences of you being the one who is always there with me. Let me feel that. And I can remember when a couple of years ago, some of you again will know, I had a battle with cancer that I had to go through. And during that time, one of the things was literally feeling the wraparound presence of God was one of the experiences that came from reading a verse that said he's the wraparound God that gives grace. And I said, God, if that's the truth, I want to experience this. I want to experience the reality of you being the wraparound God. And there were so many times when I could literally experience like a cloak around my shoulders, the presence of God being the wraparound God. So ask him for those. Put your trust in the Lord. Learn to take your thoughts captive. Taking your thoughts captive isn't about denying you have them. It's not about pushing down your thoughts and emotions. Taking your thoughts captive is about facing your fears and questions, taking hold of them and examining them, and then seeing how they stack up with what God said is yours as a child of God, and changing those thoughts if they need changing. Most of us, for example, how many of you have ever battled with self-doubt? And how many of you have thought, gee, I'm really doubtful. You know, I'm just, that's who I am. I'm a person that is full of self-doubt. The reality is, it's not that you're a person that is full of doubt, self-doubt. It's that you've established a habit of doubting yourself. And habits can be changed by our minds being renewed, thinking in a different way, and then beginning to act in line with the new way we think. A lot of the things we think are ourselves are actually habitual ways of thinking that we've established in our life. And if they're habits, they can be changed because they're not you. Does that make sense? Wave at me if that makes sense and if that helps anyone, because I know when I discovered that, I was like, oh my goodness, the self-doubt that I have that I battled with for so many years, it's a habitual way of thinking. And if my mind's renewed, that can change. Now, that doesn't mean I'm confident in every area of my life now. There are some areas where I still battle self-doubt. But I am learning, and the areas that I have become confident in, now I'm extremely confident in them. And the others I'm working on. It's not one just one blanket, you know, oh, suddenly I'm confident. Because the reality is every time you try something new, you will face self-doubt. And you've got to work and you've got to do things that give you confidence. And confidence comes through practicing something and getting better at it. And you can practice changing your thoughts and get better at doing that. So that's that's part of the thing. You know, it's not about pushing down. It's not about denying that we have fears. Often as Christians, we'll try and deny that we have fears. Fears because we don't want to appear to others to be a bad Christian, a not mature Christian, a whatever, you know, and our ego gets in the way of being authentic. The reality is when we're authentic, people appreciate us more than because people pick up. They pick up when we're not being real. They pick up when we're being super spiritual and have our religious veneer on. They pick that up because they're spiritually aware people. So, you know, we might as well learn to be real. So we have the right to decide what stays and gets established in our heart and mind. The thoughts don't get to decide, you do. The thoughts that come into your mind don't get to decide whether they stay there. You get to decide that. You get to decide what gets established in your life. The Lord encourages us to steward our heart and mind and take captive the thoughts that don't agree with who he says we are in him or who he is. You know, we bring them into subjection in Christ. And that's a learning process. You know, and it's okay to go, hey, I'm learning. You don't have to be perfect. And the reality is, as long as you are alive here on earth, you will still be learning. And then when you get to heaven, you will still be learning. Because the things you didn't learn here on earth, you will have to learn there. You don't become absolutely perfect when you get to heaven. You still learn things. You still grow, you discover, because you won't be perfect because you won't lose your ability to discover. Does that make sense? If you lose your ability to discover by becoming perfect when you get to heaven, then you will never be able to learn anything new about God. You will never be able to learn anything new about his kingdom. Because you will know it all. You will be perfect. But the reality is, we never get to be God. We will never be able to exhaust the infinite God. So we will always be learning and discovering and growing right throughout all eternity. And to me, that's exciting. You know, it just that whole idea that heaven is this place where you just go to sit and relax and sip raro and, you know, lie back on a cloud and play a harp. Oh, or if we're particularly religious, heaven is one big worship service and prayer meeting, you know, which for most of us, if we're honest, we'd go, oh my goodness, really? That sounds boring. You know, if I've got to spend all eternity singing. I don't know if your mind works. That's how my mind works. Okay, I'm being really real. So take your thoughts captive. Resist the enemy. The enemy of your soul is not someone to be afraid of. He's not as big and powerful as he pretends to be. In Christ, you have more power than he does and way more authority. Way more. I love that verse in James where it says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. That word like is an incredibly important word. In other words, he goes around pretending to be a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And he devours by trying to draw people into his bluff and lies. In other words, he's lying about being this big, powerful lion. There is only one big, powerful lion, and that's the Lion of Judah. The other is a wannabe. He's a counterfeit. He's all bluff and lies. And scripture tells us, if you stand up to him, if you resist him, he will flee from you. Wow, some big, fat, you know, scary lion that is. It's like, But as Christians, we are so often so scared of the devil and his power. If you realized how much more powerful than him you are, oh my goodness. Do I realize it? Not fully. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm growing in the ability to stand in the authority that God's given me. I'm growing in my ability to stand up to the devil. I'm growing in my ability to recognize when he's lying to me and when he's, you know, trying to bluff me and trying to hoodwink me. I'm not perfect, but I'm growing and you're growing. You know, and that's all God asks is, are you growing? So resist the devil. You have the authority to do that in Christ. Matthew 10:1 tells us that, and so does Mark 16, verse 17. And there are other verses as well. They tell us that we have the authority to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Spend time talking things through with the Lord. Be honest and real. You might as well be. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows what's in your heart and mind, because he's in your heart and mind. He knows. He's omnipotent, but he's all-knowing. So you might as well be real, and you might as well be honest, and you might as well say, God, I'm having a real cruddy day today. It sucks. Because if that's what you're thinking, you might as well actually say it to him. But God, but then be like David. But God, even though I'm having a real horrible day today, thank you that you're still faithful. Thank you that in the middle of it, you're right here with me. You haven't gone away and left me in my horrible day. You haven't gone away and left me to deal with it all on my own. God, I need some wisdom right now. I need some strategic insight. And you're the one who has it. God, let's talk this through. You know, and just be real with him. Talk your doubts, talk your fears, talk your questions through. I made an incredible discovery not so long ago. I've been going back to counseling. I'm being real open with you guys this morning. I've been going back to counseling to deal with some more of the effects of the abuse from my childhood. And I was talking to the counselor this particular day. And, you know, I was like, I'm really struggling. And she made a couple of comments which really, really helped. And one, she said, "Remember, Lynn, the thoughts that you're thinking aren't you." And that was really, really helpful. And then she said, "Lynn, do you think God's not big enough to handle how you're feeling? Do you think he's that little that he can't handle it? That he can't handle your honesty? That he can't handle that, you know, that inside you, part of you wants to swear your head off because of how you're feeling?" And yeah, I'm being real honest. Part of me does sometimes wants to use some swear words. I don't always give into that, and I try not to give into it very often, but part of me wants to use them. And if you're real, probably some of you are very much the same. Some of you don't have perfectly pure thoughts all the time. Sometimes we want to use some choice words, and I learned God's big enough to handle my choice words. Without looking down on me, without shaming me. And then he just goes, "Okay, Lynn, now you've got that out of your system. Let's talk about it." Because we've got to actually acknowledge how we're feeling. If we want to make any changes, we've got to face the facts of how we're feeling about things. Are we afraid? Then say so. "God, I'm scared spitless about my family up in Auckland who are in the middle of this thing. Yeah, I worry about them. I'm I'm like, I just want to somehow go in there, be transported in the spirit and rescue them out of there because I can't get in there by natural means. But it's not going to happen. They've got to walk through that. They're in Auckland, you know, like you guys are. And, you know, so I've got to tell God how I'm feeling. So spend time. You know, he wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you strategic insight. He wants to exchange those fears and doubts for peace and rest, and a lot more. One of the things that was helpful to me is asking God for anchors from scripture, anchor verses that become places where I can rest, that give me strength, that give me hope. Like I shared earlier, that one about God being the wraparound God who gives grace. That's from Psalm 18. And that chapter and many of the other Psalms where he talks about being the wraparound God, they were incredible sources of strength to me during that cancer battle. And again, I would say, God, I need the experience of that at this moment. So ask God, spend time in scripture, spend time in the verses that give you hope, and intentionally examine your doubts, questions, and fears. Make use of your God-given curiosity and love of discovery. You all have it. It was given to you by God when you were born. You have a God-given curiosity and a God-given love of discovery. Make use of them. Look at your doubts, look at your thoughts, look at your fears and what they're showing you. Make them work for you, not against you, because what they're pointing to is areas where you need a fresh revelation from God, and a fresh experience of God. So my doubts, my fears about whether God will look after me, I'll go there, whether he will look after me, whether I get the jab or not. You know, the reality is whether you get the jab or not, you can still get COVID. So I've got to then go, God, do I trust you enough to not get COVID either way? Do you know, what's the experience of you that I need for this doubt, for this fear? I need the experience of you as my healer. I need the experience of you as my protector. I need the experience and the revelation that you will protect me and be my protector. So my fears are telling me an area that I need an upgrade in revelation and experience in God. So examine your fears. Don't just go, oh my goodness, I must be a terrible Christian because I'm full of doubts and fears. Go, what are they saying to me that I need a new revelation of and a new experience in? So use them. Ask questions of yourself and your doubts. What am I actually afraid of? What beliefs do I have about myself, about the world, about God, etc., that are hidden underneath these fears that need changing so that I can see from my new covenant nature, from my renewed mind in Christ, so I can think with the mind of Christ. Make your doubts work for you, not against you. Don't waste them. Don't let them just take up space in your head without stewarding them. That's incredibly important. Spend time with encouraging people. Hugely important. Not so easy when you're in lockdown and you're in your bubble, and you're the only ones in there. But that's where you spend time listening to good podcasts, good hope-filled, faith-filled, new covenant-centered podcasts, not the others. Not the ones that fill you full of doubt, not the ones that fill you full of conspiracy theories and stuff like that. You know, be around encouraging people. Spend time listening to stuff. Spend time listening to worship music. Spend time doing stuff that builds you up. Spend time being creative. You know, creativity is huge, and a huge help. So God has promised that he will make all things work together for good. That means that in the middle of this time, he wants to work to make this time work for good for you. So ask him, how do you want to do that, God? And lastly, I want to leave you with one last thing. In relation to that, spend time with encouraging people. Just an encouragement. God's not planning on the world dissolving into anarchy, terror, fear, and an every man for himself attitude. That's not God's plan for the world. He has a far better plan. He has a plan to give us a future and a hope. The whole world a future and a hope, not just Christians. His plan is for the restoration of all things back to himself. Man, that's huge. That is full of hope. That is full of the goodness of God. That the world tells us that the world is going, you know, like you only have to look at the movies that are around that are full of dystopian futures, you know, where everything has descended into anarchy and chaos, and then you add zombies to it, and sheesh, the world's not looking so good in the future. But that's not God's plan for the world. He's not looking, and he's not planning on a world that's full of zombies or full of dystopian little outlying centers where people have got together to try and just make it through. That's not God's plan. So spend time with the encouraging God as well as with encouraging people. And lastly, don't listen to everyone's opinion. Absolutely important during this time. You've got the right to tell people if you don't want to listen to certain things or you don't want to talk about certain things. They might not like it, but you have the right to say, I'm sorry, I don't want to discuss that. They might think that you're ignorant. They might think that you're got your head in the sand. They might think whatever they might think. But the reality is, you've got the right to say, hey, I don't want to talk about that. Just like you have the right when people come to you and gossip. And you can say, hey, I don't want to listen to that. I'm sorry. We all know that in relation to gossip. But we seem to have forgotten that in relation to what's happening at the moment. So you have the right to tell people if you don't want to talk about certain things, especially if they're trying to push their opinions on you. Don't listen to doom and gloom soothsayers. There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of false prophets out there that are prophesying doom and gloom and spreading fear through what they share. You know? And also, you don't have to watch everything that your friends and acquaintances send you on Messenger. I get so many messages each day with people from people who think that I should watch this thing. And most of the time they're just passing it on. They don't even put any comment with it. Lynn, I really thought you might be interested in this. Most of the time it's just passing it on and spreading it. And you don't have to watch it. You can delete it. You can mute them. You can unfollow them. You can snooze them for 30 days. You have some options. You don't have to, you know. Yeah. The reality is most of what people send you will be simply reinforcing and spreading their personal beliefs. They really send viewpoints from both sides of an issue. People will really send you. They just don't. They only send you the stuff that reinforces or shares their personal beliefs in something. So it gives you a good idea of what people believe. You know, it gives you a good insight into where that person's at the moment. But you don't have to watch it. You don't have to take it all on board. You don't have to listen to everybody's opinion. And in this time, it's absolutely critical that you don't listen to everyone's opinion. You don't allow your head to be filled with all sorts of stuff. You know, I was listening someone sent me a post and they said, "Lynn, I don't know what to do about this. Can you give me some advice?" And they had listened to a sermon from one of our pastors here in New Zealand the other day, who talked about the witch bitch that is in leading our government at the moment. Actually called her a witch bitch in their sermon, then laughed about it and said, "Oh, that was a slip." And then did it again a few minutes later. So I gave them some advice on that. If this has upset them, they need to say something. They need to speak up. They actually need to say something about this. But they said, "Well, you know, I don't know if I should send this out to all my friends and tell them not to listen to this person's stuff." And I'm like, "So if you send this out to all your friends, what good is that going to do? It's going to form an opinion and put an opinion in their head about this leader now. And the reality is that was one comment in one sermon, not their whole life." And sometimes we say things in a moment that don't actually reflect everything that we believe, you know. You're going to put doubt, you're going to put questions, you're going to put, you're going to change someone's opinion and give them a low opinion of a leader. Be careful what you send on to others as well during this time, because what you send on to others could form an opinion for them. So be careful of it, you know. So those are some thoughts and processing our thought life and the voices that speak to us and how we deal with them. This is a hard time for all of us. I hope what I've shared's been helpful. I hope there's been some good nuggets for you in it. The reality is, you know, we need wisdom in these days. There's so many voices out there that aren't sharing wisdom. There's so many voices that aren't sharing hope. There's so many voices that are speaking from a judgmental perspective. And we need to be careful what we allow to take root in our heart and mind. And God is saying very clearly to the church at this time, steward your thoughts well. Steward, you know, your thinking, steward how you live, because you live out of how you think. And so if you don't steward your thinking well, then you will not live well. That's just the way it works. You know, we live out of what we think, out of what we believe. What we think and what we believe establishes and motivates and causes the behavior that we and the actions that we do. You know, so can I encourage you, you know, during this time, God has so much good for you, so much that how he wants you to grow and mature, that this time is an incredible growth opportunity for all of us. Make the most of it. Make the most of using this time to grow, to become more mature, to become more hope-filled, to become someone who sees from a heavenly perspective what God has for the world. Go into scripture, see what his plans are for the world, because, you know, there are so many scriptures that talk about that he wants to give us a future and a hope as a world. Yeah, and then begin to live in line with that. begin to speak in line with that. Begin to bring your thoughts into captivity and speak out of what you learn in that secret place with God. Because it's that, it's as we are people that spread hope, as we are people that spread good news. And good news, the good news is not just you can get saved. The good news is actually all the good stuff that God wants to do for mankind. We've restricted the good news to just sharing the salvation message. You can get saved and you can go to heaven. But the good news is far, far bigger than that. The good news is you can have a healed, restored whole mind. You can be healed in body. You can have a future and a hope. You can. There is so much goodness. There is a life full and abundant that God has for you. That's all part of the good news that we get to share. But if we don't steward our thoughts well, and we buy into what's flying around at the moment and what's coming into our hearts and minds from outside, learn to recognize what voice is speaking to you and learn how to steward those thoughts, because that's key in the days that we're in. So that's all I wanted to share. And I'm sorry if I've gone a little bit over, Pam, but I love you guys. Yeah. I'll hand it back to you, Pam, and you can facilitate where we go from here. But I'd love to just pray with everyone before I do that, if that's all right. Father, you are such a good daddy. Jesus, you are such an incredible friend, big brother, one who loves us with a love that is closer than a brother even. You're our bridegroom that we will be one with for all eternity. Holy Spirit, you're our comforter. You're our guide. And all of you will give wisdom if we ask. So, Father, I pray for each one of these people. I pray that you would give them a revelation of the power of their minds, a revelation of the power that they hold within them, Father, that you have given them as humans to be able to steward their thought life, shape it, and live out of what they shape. Excuse me. Too much talking.